touring with Exodus. I mean, Exodus Creator, I heard that and thought, my God, that's tour of the year. I remember just a few years ago, I was saying, Europe gets all the good tours, America gets nothing. You know, it's not the 1980s anymore, and then we get this. It's like, it's just amazing. I mean, actually, I want to know your thoughts on Exodus. How do you regard the band?
To me, when I was a kid, and somebody would have told me I'm going to play a tour with Exodus, yeah, I would have said, you're full of shit. You know? Yeah. No way, it's never going to happen. And now we're playing with Exodus. It's like a dream. To us, it's like a dream come true, because they have definitely been one of the most, the band that influence created the most. Them, early Metallica, early Slayer, Possessed, you know, all these bands have been the reason why I started playing this kind of music. And so having them play with us is just, it's great.
Do you remember the first time you heard Exodus?
Yeah, I had the demo before. I had the album. Actually, we're talking about like free downloads and stuff like that nowadays. But back in the day, before the album Wonder by Blood came out, I had the album on a demo tape, on a cassette, for some reason, because I was trading.
Trading tape. Yeah, right, right.
And I had the album a half year before it came out. Mm. So that was the first time. And Wonder by Blood is still one of my all-time favorite thrash metal albums.
What do you think of the re-recording of it, Let There Be Blood? Have you heard it?
Yeah, I heard it, but I think it was whatever, you know. You should just leave that.
You wouldn't record some of your old stuff?
I wouldn't do it. I would do it maybe in a different setting. You know, maybe invite some fans to the studio and do it there or something, do something to it, or do a live album or something. But I think, you know, but on the other hand, I think Rock did a great job.
That's the highlight of the album to me, is his vocals on that record.
Vocals
sounds great.
Are really good. But yeah, then again, to me, knowing the album from when it came out, right, it is a little weird for me to listen to this. You know, I prefer Wonder by Blood, but other than that, of course, it's a good idea, and technically it's probably better than Wonder by Blood. But, you know, it's like there are certain albums right shouldn't re-record, you know. I mean, if the production on the Wonder by Blood would have been shit, I would have said okay. But production back in the day was already great, in my opinion.
To this day, I mean, I can't think of another album that really sonically sounds like it.
Yeah,
it was
exactly
very unique sounding. You know,
yeah,
songs aside, it was a very unique sounding
record.
And that's not something you can recapture five years later, 10, 20 years later.
Will never happen. Like I said, I mean, this to me was just as influential as Metallica Kill 'Em All, and having the re-recording of that, it's like, yeah, maybe for the younger kids.
Well, you mentioned maybe having friends come in and do something. I mean, would that be what it would take for you to re-record some old Creator songs?
Maybe we would have like a fan club show or something for, and do it like in front of like a very small audience or something, and have a live record playing old songs. That may be an option. But
well, speaking of old songs, I mean, you've put out so many records over the years, and you have so many songs that, you know, the fans want to hear, they expect to hear, they want to hear Tormentor and Rite of Violence, and, you know, you got to play them. But you've put out so many records, you're touring, you always got to play the most recent stuff. How do you manage to compile what would ultimately make up your live set list for every tour? I mean, you got to do it every tour, and you got to please yourself, you got to support the new record, but you also know there are going to be kids out there that want to hear the old stuff. I mean, how do you, what goes on into that process?
It is a very hard process, to be honest, and there's always, like, we always get criticized by people on the internet. I've been on a last tour and they play the same songs again, and only four songs have changed, and we already try to change songs all the time, and we play at least 5, 6, or 7 different songs on the last tour, on this tour. But, you know, like you said, you can't please everyone. And
do you ever take into consideration fan feedback? Like, if you hear from your website, from your fans, you know, on tour, if you hear enough from so many kids saying that one song, like, maybe we should, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So if I slip you like $20 right now, you'll play When the Sun Burns Red, you know?
You see, this is one of the songs that I get, a lot of people request that song, and we already rehearsed it and we wanted to play it on the last tour, but it didn't work for some reason. To be honest with you, a Creator show only works for like an hour and a half, and then people, it's so fucking intense that people get tired, you know.
And then on a tour like this, you've got to follow up Exodus, and the kids are already worn out, beaten and bloody and bruised. And,
exactly. You know. So, I mean, you can't win.
No. And you're always going to upset somebody. I mean, a guy like me, I love, first of all, I would say my favorite Creator album, Renewal.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and which is weird, because if somebody were to explain that record to me right now and I'd never heard it, I would automatically think, I'll hate that record. But you know what? I got that. I had to special order it. Stores and the town I lived in didn't even carry it. I special ordered it, put it on, thought, oh my God, not only did his vocals change, but Jesus, totally different. But you know what? It worked. You know? And I'd love to hear those songs live. Granted, next to some of your other songs, they'd sound a little bit out of place. But you know what? These are great songs, you know?
You're one of the few. I mean, it's like the album maybe came out to not at the right time or something. Something was wrong, and it didn't really get the push from the record company that needed at the time. So, a little unfortunate. And to me, in my opinion, the production kind of is not the best. But other than that, I think it's a good album.
Oh, I love it, man. I love it. To this day, and that's one of those records where I want to listen to from beginning to end.
Yeah, it's like...
You know, it works best as an entire album, not just a song or two here and there. And also, another one that you got criticized for that I love is Indorama. I mean, I love that record.
Thank you.
I absolutely love that record. Because to me, it's not necessarily, you know, if a band changes, you know, I'm fine with that. People evolve, you know.
Yeah.
You know, your vocals evolve, your songwriting evolves. It's going to happen. It's like, whether or not, do I like it?
Yeah.
End of the day, change all you want. Exactly. Am I going to like it? And you know what? I liked Indorama. I love that record.
Yeah, but people didn't really take the time to listen to that album, I think.
Well, and here's the thing. Coming from a fan's point of view and being amongst the fans online, out here, talking with fans, you know, what I was hearing most of the time from people is, you know, it's the 90s. A lot of bands are changing. Creator's one of them. You know, metal hasn't been as popular in the States. You know, maybe in Germany it's still as popular, but in the 90s it wasn't here,
commercially speaking.
Although the underground metal thrived in the 90s.
I know.
Just commercially it wasn't popular. So a lot of the fans were saying, you know what, it's the 90s, they're changing like everybody else, you know.
Yeah.
And then when you get heavier again, which was interesting because I thought, well, it's just another Creator record to me.
Yeah.
And now granted, it's a bit different than Indorama when you came out with thank you. And I thought, sounds like Creator to me. I mean, it makes sense to me. I mean, you know, band's evolution ebbs and flows. And
it is. I mean, like you said, you mentioned the 90s, and I mean, we've been through some experimental periods in our career, but on the other hand, we didn't go that far off. I mean, if you think about it, there was a grunge record by Bruce Dickinson at the time in the 90s, the Skunk Works. You know, we never went that far, you know, so I think anything that we put out in the 90s was still sounding like Creator. So I take criticism for the people who say that it's not heavy enough for them. That's fine.
I understand.
You know, but it's not that we didn't want to jump on any bandwagon. It was just the time. It was more of it was very, on one hand, it was very inspiring because, you know, there was certain, I mean, the band wasn't in a good, the band lineup wasn't really stable at the time too, and so it was all very confusing. And, but that wasn't what we hear there is just what we felt at the time. So I think as long as people appreciate or understand that we are individuals and we're human beings, and of course the music reflects on who we are, but you know, sometimes you just put out something which sounds like Indorama, and it's 100% Creator because that's how we felt at the time.
Exactly. And when I came out, I'm like, I already knew, I'd heard ahead of time from people saying, don't expect anything like what you've heard before. I mean, so I knew that it was going to be a bit different, but you know what? It worked.
Yeah.
The songs were good, the songs were there, and I knew it was going to be something different. It's like bands evolve. I mean, you'd already put out so many records at the time, it's only natural.
Yeah.
No matter, even if it's Creator or Exodus or anybody else, you know, bands are going to try something different.
Yeah.
They're going to evolve. Now, speaking of evolution, I mean, I think it's a natural part of evolution to do something like you've done in the last three records, which is not really the same as the 80s, but I mean, it's definitely got more of the aggression and speed like the 80s, but it sounds like a natural progression of the band. And what I found interesting is before this album, this latest album was released, Hordes of Chaos, I read about the production. And when you were explaining to somebody in the media about how you were recording, I thought, yes, this is how I would want to hear you and a lot of other bands record records, you know? Yeah. I mean, I think there's something lost in music when you overproduce records. it happens so much still to this day. So when I throw in Hordes of Chaos, I'm like, thank you. You know, exactly. Yes, that's is that something you might want to pursue?
Maybe, yeah.
In the future?
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, there's like this. There's like a lot of imperfection on Hordes of Chaos. If I listen to it from a producer's point of view, and go, you know, let have a click track next to it or something, you know, it's not perfect. It's not really 100%, but it has this natural feeling.
It sounds natural,
it
exactly.
Sounds live, or sounds like that. You know, some of my favorite bands always did their best records like that. So I was not really, I didn't really wanna like. I know that a lot of people would disagree with me, but as much as I like the production on Enemy of God and Vinyl Revolution, those were at the time perfect, and I would never say anything bad about these productions. But we just wanted to take this experience and try to record the old way and see what comes out. And to me, it was important to get on the record, to get like a live atmosphere or live feel to it, to add it to the music that was already there. And I think that really makes the whole record more intense, in my opinion. There will be people that disagree on that, or that there will definitely be people that want a perfect, clean production. And I don't think, you know, if I wouldn't have told people in the press that we have produced it that way, I bet you a lot of people wouldn't even.
I was gonna say that. It doesn't. I mean, yeah. I bet a lot of people would hear it and not realize how you live that was recorded, because it doesn't come across as like, oh, this is recorded live in the studio, or you know, it sounds like a demo recording. Yeah. It sounds quality, but there's a certain feel to it that Violin and Enemy didn't have, you know, that this one does.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and as a fan, it's important to me that a band is willing to go the route, which almost wouldn't seem backwards, you know, as opposed to looking forward. You know, I can appreciate that, and I think it works, you know. And never mind the fact the songs are great.
Yeah.
You know, and I love the songs. It's like just the overall feel of listening to it. That makes as much of a difference as the songwriting, too.
Yeah.
I know you got to go soon. Other than touring, what's the future hold? Because it was so many friggin' years to get this record.
You know? I hope not that many years this time. I mean, you know, see, one good thing about Enemy of God being so successful, such a successful record, was we've always got booked on more tours. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like, okay, you do the state twice, and we tried to do the state the third time with King Diamond. Enemy of God.
Oh, I was so disappointed when I mean? Yeah, no,
and so
too bad.
Can he over here in the States, he can tour forever, and it's still not enough, you know. Mm-hmm. And so the reason why this album took so long was because I didn't want to just put out something mediocre. I wanted to make sure that the songs can follow up Enemy of God and have the same quality and the same intensity. And that took a while, you know, because I cannot write on tour. I cannot sit here.
So you don't write on tour? Okay.
Of course not.
Yeah.
It's like so much going on around me.
Do you when you're on tour? You've been doing this for so many years. Are you the kind of guy that follows a plan, or do you just do whatever, wherever the day takes you, it takes you? I mean, how do you deal with being on tour? Do you just do whatever to kill time, or do you follow a certain plan?
I have a lot of books with me. I have 4 books, and I've already read one in 4 days, man.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of reading.
Well, what do you read? What kind of stuff are you into?
It's a German author that I just finished the book.
Is this fiction that you read?
Yeah, fiction. Mm-hmm. Mostly fiction.
You're right, sir.
I'll be right off.
Okay.
Mostly fiction. Okay. But it's German stuff. You know, but when I'm over here, I try to read American authors.
Is there anybody you like or anybody you've discovered recently?
There's a couple that I want to check out. Name, of course, now I what is the name of the guy? There's this one book I heard a lot about, but I forgot.
I guess it's a good way to kill so much time that you have on tour.
That's
I mean,
the only thing.
Like,
I mean, on the last
you can only watch, I guess, so much TV. You know, whereas books, it takes a lot, takes up a lot of your time.
The thing is, TV is boring over here. There's too many commercial breaks, man.
Oh, God.
I try to watch a couple of DVDs when I'm over here, but And again, you know, when I went home, me and my girlfriend, we watch DVDs, and I don't want to watch too many. So, you know, I go, you know, like when you're on tour, you do things to kill time. Yeah. You're absolutely right. See, you know, meet with some friends or go to dinner like I do now. So.
Yeah.